Talkback Jackson Sports on Jackson's Fox Sports, 101.9 FM. All of our guests joining us via the Ray Snell Sports Line, and we go there right now. We welcome Tom Knutson back to the show with our Knutson's Outdoor Report. Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
I am doing so well. Thank you. And being able to see what you were able to pull together on Facebook last week with the Midwest Open, it was like 3 years in the making, and it just appeared to be a huge, phenomenal success last week, Tom. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And it did. It took a lot of work, a lot of patience and a lot of time, but we did pull off the 2022-2020-2019-2018 version of the Midwest Open.
Yeah.
It got done and completed.
So, I mean, the delays, were because of weather and because of COVID, and, I guess other things could have played in the mix, too. But, I mean, just to have weather cooperate for the most part and being able to get the worst of the pandemic behind us, it's great to be able to have all of the teams out on the ice and competing. And personally, I was happy to see that a father-son team won that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were two father-son teams in the top three, so it's not uncommon to have father-son teams involved in these events. But definitely, all top three teams were local. This area's, meaning Brooklyn, Jackson area fishermen, were in the top three. It was a very competitive event. One of the more competitive ones I think we've seen. The numbers were very consistent, all the way back to, probably about the midway point.
Uh-huh.
So it was fun to be out on the ice, watching the event transpire, watching how they were going forward with the, each team, how they would go forward and how they were, each had their own little plan, and that's always fun to watch. I know a lot of these guys from all the years of doing it, so I make a tour of the whole lake twice during the event, shortly after it starts and then shortly before it ends. That way, just kind of see what everybody was doing, see where they're at, and they tend to give me a peek at the buckets.
Yeah.
So I was able to see some of those buckets before they came in to see who was in the running. Of course, I never mentioned, who's got the better bucket or anything like that. And it even, not to my son, not to anybody. So,
uh-huh.
Just to kind of see how it goes. So, but it was fun. Absolutely great.
So you got a sense early on as to who the front runners were. You kind of knew, or at least had an idea as to which way this was going to go, or was it kind of a surprise?
No. I mean, you knew who the top 20 were probably going to be.
Right. Okay.
To get to who was going to be the top ones. No, I mean, I thought there were a few other ones that would have been up higher than what they ended up weighing. So,
uh-huh.
No, you can't without weighing the fish, not knowing. I see they have a big bucket and then they have a smaller bucket to transport. So I didn't see all the small buckets, and I only got to see, bits and pieces. So,
right.
It was kind of, you just get an idea overall. It was an overall, and I knew it was going to be without those, if you take four teams, the top four teams out of there, you're talking tenths, two uh-huh. tenths between each team.
Oh, wow.
Going back 20, 25, 30 places.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how close it was. So that's what I was looking at. You always know that there's going to be one or two teams that's going to creep, to the top. But yeah, you take those top four teams off, and you look at those weights, and it would have, uh-huh. those were all winning weights, 10 years ago. That were in the top 20. Yeah, that's even the crazy part. I was going through
wow.
all those numbers, and numbers have changed greatly over time.
Well, let's talk about the winners again. I know we had that reported earlier in the week, but now we have an opportunity to kind of give them a little bit more attention. So let's talk about those who had placed here in the Midwest Open.
Yep. So Chad Hamlin and Ryland Hamlin were the winners with 10.61 pounds. They had their 8 bluegill and 8 crappie. They had very solid fish. They didn't have a big, there's guys that had 1 pound crappie, but these guys, their big crappie was 0.84. So they were almost a half a pound light on their biggest crappie compared to some of the other teams, but they had enough, big, big red ears. Their red ears were consistent and their crappies were consistent. And that's what took them to the top. So father-son team, Rylan is I think he's a sophomore at Michigan Center.
Okay.
He is defending high school, Michigan High School Bass Tournament champion in two different events, or two different series. From the previous year. I mean, I know that's going to be starting up for them. Chad is a past winner of the Midwest Open. He had once teamed with Bob Richardson, and they won it quite a few years ago. So
okay.
Chad wasn't Chad and Rye are not not rookies when it comes to fishing, and they
right.
put a lot of time, a lot of hours to get to that point. And then second place with Nolan Arthur and Robert Sheary. Robert fishes with his father-in-law a lot, Bob Rumsey. So this is a new ice team. Nolan Arthur is a contractor and spends tons of time on the ice in the wintertime. That's his escape, when he's not working concrete. So that wasn't a big surprise for the amount of time that they've spent on the lake as well. And they were at 10.48. And then Jim Martin and Glenn Martin, they were a past champions as well, had been in the top three many, many, many times, and they pulled out 9.92 pounds. So
nice.
That was a very good run for the top three.
All right. And what were the prizes that go to the top three?
Top three was $20,300 for the winners.
Okay.
$4,000 for second. And $2,500 for third.
Okay, wow, that's a pretty good takeaway. And of course, there's other prizes too, right?
Yeah, it was $41,000 and some change for total payout for this year's event.
Yeah,
cash and prizes was $41,000.
And this is something that, I mean, it's great to see locals win it, and there's a lot of great local participation, but this is an event that brings in people from quite a few other states, too.
Oh, absolutely. This year, we had, the farthest from this year was a guy who was originally from around here, but since the last event has moved to California, so he came in from California to fish the event. We've got a lot of guys. We had guys from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois. Traditionally, when you can get across the border, we got Canada as well coming in, Pennsylvania, New York, up the East Coast as well. So we get nationwide, Ice Belt participation. It's the biggest of its event in the United States. There's nothing like it, and I guess you'd have to almost say it's the biggest event like it in the world.
Right.
So, two-man fishing for bluegill, 8 and 8 for a day's work, that's pretty good payday.
And that's really a testament to the type of reach and exposure that Knudsen's and the Knudsen's brand has, not just locally, which is a tremendous footprint, but, I mean, regionally and across the country.
Well, yeah, and we run a fair and square tournament. Yeah. We run it very, participant friendly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we the participants are what make the event. So if you don't take care of the participants, you're not going to have an event.
Right.
A lot of guys who try to do these things, they try to make money off of them, off the entry fees or whatever. And that's there's always more money in the pot than there is entry fees.
Right.
So that's always been our goal. So the participants know that they're, what they put in is going to come back in some way, shape, or form.
Right. And this is also something where people just aren't coming in the day of. You're bringing people in probably the week of, because there's a lot of practice fishing and prepping for all these teams that happen.
So if you take it serious,
yeah,
and you haven't been on that ice for the previous 3-4 days prior to the event, you're going to struggle. You may hop on a lucky deal and get a couple fish, but you're going to get your 16 big, 16 of the biggest bluegill and 8 and 8. It's tough,
right?
Without having time. I mean, it's fun to watch. Like I said, I watch. I know where most every one of these guys fished that were in the top 20. I'd seen them on the ice. I watched how they were traveling the ice throughout the day. And they had plans. I mean, they just don't go, hey, we're just going to plop down here.
Right.
They knew where those fish were. They knew where those secret spots were. They knew where, when to be there in those spots. The biggest problem is how many other people found those same spots that you're on.
Yeah.
That's the question. I saw Chad and Rylan early on in a spot that had nobody on it, a spot that they kept, you know, tight to themselves, and that's where they got their first batch of fish, and then they went to upgrading on different spots where maybe there was other people, but the first spot they'd been left alone.
Right.
You know, and that's because of a lot of hard work. I mean, it really is the same thing with that Nolan Arthur and Robert Sheary. I know that Nolan on 3 inches of ice, and that ice was like a looking glass. He spent hours just crisscrossing that lake and with a GPS marking every weed bed that he could see, you know, through the ice. So he had those marks. So you know, they did the work, and that's the beauty of it. For those who do the work, it's going to be there.
So how many pounds of fish were taken just last week?
I can't answer that. I never added the total poundage up.
We'll go for partial credit. We'll say a lot.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, because you know, a limit is 25 per person.
Right.
Okay. So say that if 150 teams went fishing times 25 fish, you figure that's a huge number.
Right.
You know, but we limit it to 16 fish.
Right.
And they're not supposed to take anything more than their 16. They can have a couple over while they're doing their you know, upgrading.
Yeah.
But, you know, to come off with, 50 fish each or 25 fish each person, I don't allow
that's,
it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what this is about. You know, is to have the best and biggest. The beauty of it is that at the end of the night, when the tournament is over, Bob Richardson brings in pizza and beverages, and they start cleaning fish. And it took them about 3 hours this year to clean the fish.
Okay.
And all that fish is going to be used at the Jackson Interfaith Shelter on usually 2 to 3 different Lent Fridays. Bob and the group of us go down there and help cook those fish and feed those at the Jackson Interfaith Shelter with fresh water fish caught, not store-bought cod, but or whatever, you know, is usually given on those days, but truly something special, something different that they don't have in their diet.
And that was my next question. That's exactly where I was leading. What happens with the fish that's harvested from Wamplers? And that's great to hear.
Yeah, a lot of people will take their own fish. I mean, that's what they should do. But but we do it, and a lot of them donate it because of what happens with it.
Yeah.
And, if you've never done that, to go down there and serve those fish, that's pretty rewarding. There's a lot of people who, my grandpa, when I was a kid, you know, we would go fishing and we'd cook these fish and just bring back memories for us. And, you know, for those that are down on their luck, you know, it's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, there's still, for those who are taking it home, there's still nothing better than being able to catch fish, frying it up, and having it that same day. There's nothing better.
There's nothing better than fresh fish.
I know.
I can attest to that my whole life.
I can, too. Yeah. So.
You know, luckily, I had a grandpa who when we traveled to Minnesota, they ate fish 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
They said that, you know, the doctors back in the day said that's what took my grandpa out was too much fish and had too much mercury in it from back then. But I don't buy that today.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And also, let's lightly touch on, there's another tournament that's going on this week.
There is. There's another one if you want to get into it. This one is another two-man tournament. This is the NAIFC, North American Ice Fishing Championship Tournament. For those that would finish in, I think it's the top 5 this weekend here, will be eligible for what is called the National Ice Fishing Tournament, which would be held next year in December in Minnesota. Again, this used to be kind of what we used to do. We were tied to this. It was originally called Ice Team, and then it went to NAIFC. When it made the switch from Ice Team to the NAIFC, we kind of went on our own. Just did not see some of the there wasn't a lot of I don't know. It wasn't as fisher-friendly, fisherman-friendly. There's a new person who's has taken over the series. I think he's got everything in the right direction to get that back to what it should be. It could be very huge. It will be very huge. There's no doubt in my mind. If properly done, it's going to be, you know, it will be one of the leading events in the country. So you've got a chance to pick up to 50 teams, 52-man teams. I think it's $250 to enter.
Okay.
I think 50 of it goes towards the championship. The $200 goes towards your purse of the day. If they get the full 50, there'll be $10,000 purse to be handed out on Sunday. The lake is Devil's Lake. and it's going to be a huge event for those that, you know, there's a lot of the guys who are in our tournament this weekend, last weekend, mm-hmm. will be fishing it again this weekend because they're very familiar with it. Myron Gilbert is one of the guys that has fished this and won the national championship. Jeff and Ben Wright back in the day have won this championship. You know, so it's Brooklyn Jackson area has been very well represented in this series over the years, you know, through its existence. So over the last 5 years or so, we haven't been too active in Michigan, just because a lot of the participants who used to fish it just don't fish it anymore, do the traveling, and, you know, just the payout wasn't enough to justify the travel.
Okay.
So this new gentleman understands that, you know, you can't travel and spend more than what it costs to get there and win less than what it costs to get there if you win. So that doesn't bring a lot of people to the table, and I think you'll see a great increase on that this weekend.
All right. And that's, like you said, down at Devil's Lake, who just had the tip up last week.
Yep, they just had a tip up. Sounded like it was a great event. Uh-huh. I talked to some of the guys who were in charge of that the other day, and it sounded like they had a heck of a good weekend. Good. They weren't able to do the snowmobile races because of the big wind or big snow that showed up in the rain, but they had a great weekend on the fishing side of it, and there was a lot of people who came out onto the lake, and I think you'll see another very good weekend on the lake based on what I'm seeing in our parking lot the last 2 days again.
Okay. And to wrap things up, the Coyote Bounty is still going on.
We're running out of time. March 1st is crawling up on us real quick.
Yeah, I know.
And the bounty is, or the numbers have slowed up greatly.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys who have been really doing well, I think, are starting to take out their area, and you know, we're starting to get the pace is a lot less than what we were early on. So we're at about 175 so far. Again, that Washtenaw County area seems to be the big one at the moment, but Jackson's starting to kick in as well, a little bit out of Lenawee. So I think the biggest problem with the trapping and the coyotes this year, too, is the price. You know, the pellets aren't worth what they are, and there's a lot of people who won't just trap to trap. You know, some want to, you know, if they don't get some kind of price for it, then it's not justifiable of them to take the animal.
It's not worth their time.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
So we got that as well.
But, I mean, part of this is population control.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. That's the main reason why why the people that do it are mainly population control. But there are those who do it for the money and for the pelts. And, and when the price is so low that they just won't do it.
Right. All right, Tom. As always, man, we appreciate the visit. I could talk to you all day, but we do have to move on.
Yep,
and,
you got to get rolling.
We got to get rolling. We appreciate the visit. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk. Oh, wait. Before we go, who are you picking in the game Sunday?
Who am I going to pick for game Sunday? I'm going to pick Stafford. I'm not a Lions fan. I'm a Vikings guy, but the guy deserves it. He put his time in. You know, I think he should be the guy, and I think I think the other one's a little young and a little too cocky, and I think we'll see how that's going to play out.
Young and cocky. All right, Tom. As always, we appreciate it. Enjoy your week. Enjoy Super Bowl Sunday, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds good, Mark.
Talkback Jackson Sports on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM with the Knutson's Outdoor Report.